Mall. Para X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Coming to you live and direct from my subterranean lair. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Fallen Angel Friday, baby. Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we are all vibrating the same frequency. It's a waxing crescent Gemini moon, and we got good friend of the show, my buddy Masaki Miyagawa from Akaida.com. That's AKAIDA.com. He's a good friend of the show. We've had him on numerous times. Masaki is from a 400-year-old bloodline of Buddhist priests. He has one and only custom-made Oregon pyramids that have just recently come to a new level. And he's an originator and, you know, a modern-day alchemist in a way. And he is a psychic. He does amazing numerology readings. And tonight is Fallen Angel Friday. It's a special edition. We're doing it 2 weeks in a row. You can find Masaki on Facebook. You can find him on his website, on YouTube. He's just full of knowledge, and it's always a pleasure to have him on the show. And once again, you can find us at themysticalspiral.com and Exploring the Ka with host Ra Castaldo on YouTube. So let's bring Masaki on. Masaki, what's going on, buddy?
Hi, Ra. I was just down in your old stomping grounds in Long Beach, so...
Yeah.
I think fans of Spiral Radio kind of know your story about the Cesar Chavez Park and the portal in Long Beach.
Yeah.
I was just talking to some buddies from down there, and they have a park jam during the summer in the same park where you went through that portal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't know your story, and they say that even when there's people there having fun, and, you know, there's bands playing, that they feel like there's something weird about that park.
Yeah, and you know what? There always would be people just falling asleep, like homeless people gathering, like sometimes, like in certain areas of the park back in those days. And they would just fall asleep there and, like, get drawn there for hours, you know? It was, like, a weird energy about the place. And, you know, not to get into it again, but just I used to get drawn there. Like, it was like a ritual every day, and I used to walk around it a certain way, and, you know, I always felt the energy there. And I don't know if it was deliberately made that way or it's some kind of natural stargate or something that's in that park, but yeah, there's something crazy going on in Long Beach.
Well, you know, I have to ask you too, I had sent you one of my power pyramids. This is basically, a powered Oregon frequency generator pyramid, right?
So got it running right now.
I have mine running too. So, yeah. You know what? Our audience is actually getting that, you know, high frequency even through, you know, the live transmission right now from LA to New York. We're beaming it out. But, you know, I haven't asked you too much about it, but you've had it for a while now. So, I mean, what do you notice?
Yeah, like you could feel the, you know, see, I don't, not like with, when we were on the, we both been on the Leak Project with Rex Bear. He tends to run that thing for days sometimes. And mm-hmm. I don't do that. Like, I'll turn it on for an hour or two here and there when I'm either reading or when I'm having the show or mm-hmm. doing an interview or something like that. And even like before bedtime, I really feel like that it just enhances all kind of meditation and thoughts and ideas, even like things will just feel more real and more intense and more mm-hmm. amplified.
And that's saying a lot because you're already tapped in. So
yeah, no, it's mm-hmm. it's for sure feel a difference. You can almost feel the energy, and that's from a 9-volt battery, everybody. Not just a little 9-volt. So to give you, like, you know, I can only imagine what a massive, you know, size thing that would do. What kind of, you know, it's scary because I could feel mm-hmm. it. Yeah, for sure. You could feel, the best way to describe it is you feel waves.
Mm-hmm.
Like a wave come over you. Like it's a vibrating waves almost. You could feel it.
Well, I have a lot of, you know, new products, and I have a new Powered Pyramid coming out soon. So people can check it out at akaida.com. But let's jump into it. Fallen Angel Fridays. And, you know, I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, the city of angels. But they forgot to tell the people it's actually the city of the fallen angels. So,
yeah, you know? Exactly. That's right? I've always thought that, too. Like the right? Lost Angels, the fallen angels. Los Angeles is the Lost Angels. And, you know, and New York is like some kind of Gotham City. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's like it's interesting that, you know, these fallen angels, people don't really even understand who they are and what they are. And I think that everything is influenced by them, from Hollywood to people's thoughts and their consciousness. And these beings are the creators of magic. They are where magic came from. And, mm-hmm. you know, astral thought forms and tulpas, this is where this came from. These beings, they are who gave us magic and what we know as magic. And, you know, I know that you've experienced things in your life, and you being right in, you know, near Hollywood, that you can see it, you know, ongoing, and almost that these fallen have hosted people in a way and hosted their consciousness and are feeding on them. And you can see the influence they've had on cultures and, you know, in Hollywood and in movies.
Well, you know, I had mentioned to you in our private conversations that now I've been on Spiral Radio several times, and I've been on Fallen Angel Fridays before.
Yeah.
And I am surprised how many people that, you know, they're positive, holistic-minded people that are, you know, doing their meditations, they're doing their energy work, and they have never heard of the so-called gods with the little g or the fallen angels, right?
Yeah.
This is a major part of our history on this planet. And people, I think, should start looking at what all cultures have pointed to in the far past, that, you know, there weren't just bankers and politicians. There were, you know, god priest men, and behind the priests were these high beings. Although, just because they had a lot of, say, paranormal powers and spiritual dimension to them, just because it's spiritual doesn't necessarily mean it's good, right? So, you know, I had talked about this on Leak Project before, that when you take this subject of the fallen angels, you're basically identifying what is the origin of evil. Because you've talked about it, right? That the human being is a schizophrenic animal, right?
Yeah.
The you know, dogs are dogs, cats are cats, but what is the human being?
Yeah.
Right? The human being is all over the place and is kind of has an internal struggle. Well, there was a book, I believe it was in the 70s, Alvin Toffler, he wrote a book called Future Shock, right? And it was all about the technological singularity of how fast the computers were coming on, and then the internet age, and, you know, that people would kind of lose pace with the technology and we'd come to the singularity point. This book was called Future Shock, right? But there was a man, Jack Barringer, and he wrote a book from the occult esoteric perspective of past shock, because there's future shock of like, wow, there's too much social media, the internet, you know, we have all this Wi-Fi frequencies going on. But psychologically, the human race is very traumatized from the past cataclysms, the cycles, the rise and fall of civilizations. And when you go back far enough, there is this issue of interdimensionals or possibly extraterrestrials and the so-called fallen angels.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really feel like that it goes so deep that these fallen angels are our creators, basically, and they are what others call the Draco or the Anunnaki, and these serpent type DNA manipulators. And, you know, they have been the ones that basically made us, and I feel like that they have basically posed as gods. And let's think about it, Misaki. Would a god ever demand worship or allow sacrifice? A true loving god. And that's what these beings do. In all cultures, in all ancient scriptures, whether you go to the Vedas, whether you go to the Book of Enoch, whether you go to the Quran, whether you go even to, you know, anything, you're seeing these beings demanding worship and allowing sacrifice and rituals for sacrifice as well.
Well, you know, this is nothing against the Abrahamic faiths, but it's undeniable that they are linked to Saturn worship. And oh, so sure. When you go to the Catholic Mass and you take the communion wafer and the, you know, the blood and the wine, I mean, that's a kind of a ritual cannibalism.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I've talked about it. Yeah, I mean, you're taking a blood offering to their god, to your god.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
And then the Muslims, you know, and they're doing it out of, you know, deference to God and so forth. But when they do the halal, you know, ritual slaughter of the animals, it's always pointed towards Mecca, towards the black cube.
Yeah.
So that's sort of like an energy accumulator, you know, and you have to think this is going on worldwide. So in many ways, there's an underlying occult factor that goes far back that people are just not aware of.
You know? Yeah, and you know, and you know, the fact that we have been stuck in this material plane dimension, sort of, and where, you know, the energy on the material plane vibrates at an extremely lower frequency, you know, than most, you know, and you know, it's very dense, and we need to like tap into our spiritual sides more and shed this material plane, you know, dimension we're caught in. Do you like you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, the thing is that many things are pointing to the fact that we live in a matrix, right?
Yeah.
And they say that, you know, Lucifer, you know, rules the physical realm and, you know, all that sort of thing. There's a lot of truth to that, but at the same time, this is connected to the dualistic nature of the human being, right? There does seem to be the fact that there was some kind of genetic manipulation along the line. But that's only the physical container. The actual, if you look at the traditions, it says that the human soul or the spirit, the energy component of the human being, was not created by these fallen angels. That comes directly from source. So this is a major, it's a key point that people should focus on, because, you know, all I do with the pyramids is deal with energy, right? And another word for energy is spirit. Right, and one of the reasons why the pyramids have such a holistic healing effect, it's a high positive energy, is because it's connected to the zero point, the source field, right?
Yeah.
The human being also has this energy, and the strongest generator is in the heart center. Okay,
sure.
So
it's a dynamo. It's a dynamo. Yeah.
You know, the Egyptians, they never preserved the brain, right? They actually like pulled it out, right? Probably put some cotton or whatever in the head, but they did preserve certain organs such as the heart. They put them in the Coptic jars.
Yep.
That's because they knew that the field of creation, the strongest energy point in the human being is the heart center, right? So then you go back to all the traditions, you know, love your brother, have the unconditional love for people, because if you are grounded, balanced, you accept yourself, right? Because a lot of, I would say, you know, you do readings and I do readings. The most common thing that I see is people have low self-esteem. They're self-critical. They feel very bad about themselves, right? Well, look, nobody's perfect. And the human being, in the fact of being a human being, is imperfect, right? So we have to start accepting ourselves more. And when we do that, our whole vibration starts to rise, right? We can start creating what we want, right? So this is the magic of the human being. In Buddhism, it could be related to the image of the lotus, right? The lotus grows basically in the gutter. It grows in mud, in muck, right? But it comes out in this beautiful flower. The lotus flower emerges out of the lowest
swamp. Yeah.
Exactly. And not just that, the lotus is one of the, I don't know if it's the only, but it's one of the few plants where the germinated seed is already contained in the flower when it blooms. So that connection to source, the seed of enlightenment, it's already in you. You just have to realize it, right?
Yeah.
This is the major difference between the true human being and the fallen. Because why are they called fallen, right? They may have been so-called more advanced than us in technological ways. They may have been able to do all kinds of transdimensional portal things. But something happened to these beings. If you look, you can either look at this as history, or you could look at it as a metaphor, right? But I would just encourage people to start actually looking at it, because what I'm finding is most people are not even aware of these timeless stories that go through all cultures, right? But they say that these fallen are called fallen because somehow they became disconnected from source. And when you become cold, heartless, you know, like David Rockefeller had like 7 heart transplants or whatever, right? Dick Cheney is like Darth Vader. He has like a mechanical heart. I mean, that's not a joke, people. That means that their actual heart center, they are totally cold and mechanical. They have no feeling for the other human being, right? So when that happens, if you lose the heart center, you start becoming like these bankers and politicians, where their heart, their literal physical heart starts breaking down. Well, take that, you know, into thousands, millions, eons, you know, timeless years, where some of these races, they became so logical, technological, and they lost the heart center. Well, guess what happens then? You actually start becoming like a ghost, a vampire, because you have lost the ability to create. You have, because the psychic energy, the creative energy, it's the same thing. To have the love for your fellow human being, it allows you to tap into source and actually, you know, create reality. Well, these beings, you notice, they always use technology, because the technology, it's a poor kind of a copy of the connection to source or the creative energy, right? So if you look at the internet, it's a great tool, but that is sort of, it's sort of a copy of the intuitive power, right? Yep. And I think all these things, you know, I don't think we should throw away technology, but you should realize that a lot of what in the world today, it's this technological things is a poor facsimile or a poor copy of what the true human being can do. And the more, actually, there comes sort of a dividing point where we are today. where the more you use technology, the more your psychic power atrophies. And you start, you know, relying on, you know, the technology instead of your own internal compass and your own intuition.
Yes, and you know what? These beings, Misaki, are still being evoked and, you know, messed with. And I feel basically that, like I said before, like and you said, it's sort of like some kind of matrix. And they use – these beings are the origin of magic. And this ancient magic they are using to invade our consciousness and inserting files or programs or thoughts – basically, like into our minds, like a blueprint. And as soon as we make contact with these beings, I've said it before in my videos, once we make contact, it's equals contract. As soon as you have any kind of calling upon any of these beings or contact with them, it equals a contract. You've already welcomed them to your consciousness and your psyche, and you welcome them to your, you know, will and your soul. And I feel that once that happens, certain things are downloaded inside your consciousness and a contract is already made with them. And once they have this agreement and this welcoming them to your psyche, then rituals are performed and you're hosted in a way. And these beings use the person as sort of like a battery to stay in this realm and to feed on them and feed on their emotions and their thoughts and in intense pain and love and creativities and, you know, and then like certain rituals are done and postures are done to evoke them into their consciousness. And just, you know, certain people writing this in books, how to talk to these beings as well, and putting spells in books, and someone just reading that spell in a book, just reading it that spell over in your mind, it brings you a step closer to these beings.
Well, you know what I find interesting is you come from the Strega, the Italian, you know, esoteric tradition, right? Which I had never heard of before you, Ross. So you really introduced me into that whole realm.
Yeah.
And I come from a lineage of Buddhist priests, right? But, you know, my sensibility, I feel that it pretty much perfectly matches with what you believe and what you say. And you know, listeners of Spiral Radio, I really recommend you to check out Ra's material because the way, you know, what we're saying, what we're telling you is actually in the far minority. We're telling you to be careful that there are spiritual laws, right? It's nothing to be afraid of, but everything is based on free will. Yep. And just like the courts, which are actually based on, you know, occult practice, the legal courts, ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Yeah.
So just because you didn't know does not mean that you're not going to get your ass whooped.
Yep.
Right? So yep. I was tripping out. You sent me a couple links of some people on YouTube that are showing people how to contact, you know, entities, how to call in the triple goddess. And I mean, this is crazy because, you know, in past times, you might have had to go to an occult group and join a brotherhood or so forth. Or you might have had to go to the local occult shop, do some study, look at some spells in a book, right? Which I would never do, but I'm just saying, okay? But now, I'm sure, just because those videos are up there, I'm sure there's people calling in the old ones from some video they saw on YouTube. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, and you know what? Me, it's interesting because I do come from a Strega background, and some of this, it contradicts what most Strega believe because they've been fooled and they've been tricked because I was told even as a child that you're not supposed to use any kind of spells except for your own protection and your own healing. You know, that's the only – and when I say spell, I mean a prayer or some kind of ritual that you do over again, you know, or blending some kind of herbs to help your own healing or protect you from whatever in life, from, you know, from ailments and things like that, and from psychic attacks and psi attacks. And, you know, but most Strega, you know, have been fooled and duped, and they're writing spells, putting them in books for others to read, you know, teaching this kind of stuff to other people, and that totally goes against what I believe, because when you hand down a spell to somebody and have others repeat it, you are continuing your intentions when you originated that spell. And when someone else repeats it, you're repeating someone else's intention and amplifying the strength of their original spell. And it continues on and on. And, you know, that's why I say if you're ever going to make your own spell or do your, you know, change it, put your own words in it, make your own names, your own something, make it your own, you know, and never, you know, repeat things from someone else like that. I really feel it's dangerous, and most people don't even realize that. And like I said, these beings are the originators of magic. This is where draconian magic comes from and good magic. And, you know, there are different watchers or fallen angels that are probably fighting for our cause, but there are others too that are the dark ones and bring darkness upon your soul when you call upon them, like Hecate. And when someone evokes Hecate, you know, you can, she's known as the triple goddess, you know, the maiden, the mother, the crone. But there are stages to this, and she'll do you favors and grant you some powers. But you go through the stages. First, you're that beautiful woman who can call forth beauty and manifest things, right? And then you become the mother, and you give birth to a new sun god, a being of magic, right? And then the final stage, you become the crone, the old hag who wants to be young again and feeds on the life force of others like a succubus. And that's the true stages of the triple goddess that people don't realize. That's really in depth when you call on the dark goddess Hecate, you know, and people don't realize that.
Well, you know, if you look at a lot of these Hollywood celebrities, especially the women.
Look at the
men they're attached to. I mean, virtually every man that has been involved with a Kardashian woman did not come to a good end. Right.
Yeah. No. And it's like they're subconsciously connected to these fallen, and they don't even realize it. Even with some of the parties that go on, and some of the rituals they're doing at the parties, and the music that the atmosphere they're providing, you're opening yourself up to the lower astral. First of you know.
Well, you know, my thing is, you know, as far as Ouija boards and calling on entities.
Yeah.
Even calling on so-called positive ones like Archangel Michael, whatever, you're still giving your power away.
I agree.
Because, see, a lot of people, they're aware, you know, if you're calling on some dark god, that's not good. But even calling on, say some of the entities like in Santeria or, you know, Archangel Michael or so forth. There are beings that feed on the adoration because they're like, you know, keep it coming, you know, keep worshiping me. And that's not being sovereign, right? So
people don't realize, Archangel Michael is Draco in nature. He is a seraphim. He is serpent in nature. He was just said to be one of that fought for our cause. But he is one of the seraphim, an archangel, you know, with a serpentine, the visage of a viper.
Well, can you repeat what Maria DeAndrea said when you asked what her read of Metatron is? You remember what she said?
I don't remember what she said. I remember what she said when I said, is Metatron
She said it's a djinn.
That's – oh, wow.
Right?
Wow.
So people are thinking –
that is what it is.
People are thinking Metatron and the Metatron's cube is all sacred geometry. It's all great. She said it's a djinn, which is basically a you know, dark being of smoke.
Yeah, being of fire, like the seraphim. You know, these are like a being of smokeless fire, they say, you know, and these are beings of antimatter, beings that travel outside of our visible light spectrum that can manipulate our consciousness and manipulate the matter, the dark matter, what we can't see. And you see, they are known as beings of fire because antimatter is highly unstable. And it can just explode and can manipulate the, you know, the air and the ether. And I feel that's why they call them these beings of fire, because they travel outside of our visible light spectrum in the dark matter or antimatter. We got one minute to break, too.
Well, you know, after being in the metaphysical or occult world for, you know, 2+ decades, as far as myself, you know, you start to gain a sensibility of what's what. One thing that pops up in the last week or two is Bill Nye, the science guy, right? There's a big controversy. People can go look it up online. Go look at the Google images of Bill Nye. There's one where he looks very demonic, and he has a pin on his lapel. And it's the logo of the Planetary Society group that he founded. That is definitely Saturn. Okay, yeah. So look at how demonic his face is. And he got Saturn right. He's telling the people right
the
there.
Hexagram, the hexagon, you know, that's the Saturn worship.
So, you know, a lot of things are just below the surface. And if you're involved in energy work and you know the symbolism, it's right there in your face. And all of the bad things going on planet Earth, a lot of them can be traced to the Saturn Brotherhood, the Saturn worship. Saturn as an archetype, it's not a bad thing. But if you're worshiping Saturn solely, I think that's something to be concerned about. And, you know, Ron, I'm not afraid of anything, but I'm just bringing this up because we see it every day. But when you talk about this, the fallen angels and so forth, it all goes to Saturn. It all goes to the, you know, the dark portals and all this kind of thing, you
yep.
know?
So, yep. And I feel yep. that there is, we'll talk about it after break. We're about to go to break. But I feel that there are dark entities that are emerging or about to emerge from these black holes that I feel that is what the Bible calls the abyss. And when they talk about Leviathan coming from the sea, I think they're talking about the cosmic sea and the black hole. He's coming from space, you know, and it's some kind of blast coming from the sky. And we'll get more back into this. It's Fallen Angel Friday. We're with my buddy and friend of Spiral Radio, Masaki Miyagawa at akaida.com. akaida.com. We are at the mysticalspiral.com. The name of the song is called Sun Grip. It's from my old band Bring the Dawn from 2006. So enjoy, and we'll be back after this. And Spiral out.
The shell you crawl, you swallow, you bite, you spit, the shell you crawl.
In this river of apathy, you find me.
Smile, you bite, you spit, the shell you crawl. You swallow, you bite, you spit, the shell you crawl.
You speak to me in colors, your speech can paint.
And yes, I know. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. Yes, I know.
Yeah. the soul you have. You sharpen a blade to take the soul you have. Sharpen the blade and take the soul you have. You sharpen the blade and take the soul you have.
I'm watching you walk across the face.
Anywhere. Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
And we're back. And that song was called Sun Grip by Bring the Dawn. And we are with Masaki Miyagawa at Akaida.com. And it's Fallen Angel Friday, and we are beneath a beautiful waxing crescent moon. And we got a full chat room. And I know you can find Masaki and his one and only one-of-a-kind Oregon pyramids at his website. I have his powered device, his Giza gold with quartz crystal in it. And it's running now. I have his tower busters all around me guarding my Wi-Fi. And I've been working with his stuff for almost a year now. And, you know, it's really amazing what he's been doing. And not only is he working with that stuff, but he also is a psychic and does numerology readings. And we were going deep. If you're just joining us, it's Fallen Angel Friday. And Masaki wants to bring us some information that he's been researching on concerning Brazil. And let's hear some of that.
Okay, well, this is Fallen Angel Friday, and on most shows, I tend to try to just stick to the so-called positive things about, you know, high pyramid energy and practical solutions people can use to improve their quality of life, right? But I am a Scorpio, and I'm in the first decan. I'm October 26th. It's the same birthday as Hillary Clinton. So if you know anything about astrology, the first 10 degrees of Scorpio – definitely, yeah. You're either going
to
be
a Masaki. I'm so sorry for you.
You're either going to be a witch, or you're going to be the ultimate healer, right? Because that first 10 degrees, it's like double Scorpio, right? So I am highly interested in the so-called the dark underbelly of what's going on, but I think it's very informative if you look at, you know, the so-called darker aspects of what's going on in the world, because it's a framework. So if you see how things are being worked from the so-called dark side, you can flip it and use it towards the positive because it's a framework. There are spiritual laws. There are rules that that we live in, right? But I find it very interesting that if you look at what's going on in the news today, we're kind of being angled towards a World War III scenario. Or some kind of end times script, I feel, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people thought that with the fall of the, you know, the Berlin Wall and the fall of communism, that the whole Cold War was over. But funny enough, I posted that old Fishbone tune, Party to Ground Zero, last night. Yeah. Because we're right back against, oh, it's the Ruskies, it's the Russians and the Americans, I mean, seems like we went back in time, right?
Yeah, it's like a Red Scare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you look at the prophecies of the different cultures, it's interesting that they all are overlapping. And let's say from the Zionists, right, they think that their Messiah is going to come and give them the 1,000 years of peace for them, right? But after a great war, Then you have the Russian Orthodox Church, and they're expecting to get hit by a nuclear strike, but if you look at what they believe, they say that the West basically, like North America, Western Europe, doesn't fare too well. They're basically leveled. Enough of Russia survives, and then they march on Israel. I mean, this is like super biblical stuff. I'm sure Gary Wayne, your guest last week of Genesis 6 conspiracy, he knows all about this. Is Gog and Magog type stuff, right? Now, what a lot of people don't know is if you even look at Brazil or Japan, you also see prophecies that are all angling towards exactly where we are today. Now, there was a psychic, a seer. His name is Chico Xavier, and he's from Brazil. And he made a lot of his famous prophecies in the 60s and 70s. And people can look him up. It's like Chico and then like Xavier, but it's pronounced
with an X,
Chico Xavier, right? But he said that in 1969, I believe, when the Americans sent the mission to the moon, that there was sort of a spiritual council of higher beings that said, you know what, the humans are now going off-world, but they're still very warlike, and they basically wanted to stop us, right? And
Dude. Mm-hmm. These beings, like, let me stop you right there. I agree with this, and we call these beings the Capinera, or they're kind of like what the Men in Black are. They're timekeepers and time jumpers, and they try to stop certain things and prevent certain things and also keep record of everything. And I feel that's what those beings are.
So this is what Chico Xavier was saying, and he did a lot of automatic writing, so you could say he was a channeler.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, with channel information,
yeah, I have experiences with that myself. Yeah,
you always have to take it with a grain of salt. But I just find it interesting to lay everything on the board and see where it overlaps, right?
Yeah.
So and Chico Xavier, he's highly respected in Brazil. So he said basically that there was a council of higher beings, and they were going to bring a cataclysm because, you know, just like the Tower of Babel, right? That the humans were trying to reach the stars, and we got to stop them. And some positive beings intervened, and they said, give the human race 50 years. If they do not have a nuclear war by 2019, then a reign of a new age will come. But if a World War III nuclear event happens before, I think it's like summer, it's like June or July 2019, then it's basically going to be an apocalypse. And not only will you have the nuclear devastation, but the Earth will rise up. The nuclear war will start some kind of Earth cataclysms, and the entire northern hemisphere will be leveled. Okay? And then this is because there's two scenarios. One is we pass through 2019, and he calls it the data limit, is like the end date, you know? So if we pass through, no World War III, then things will basically shift to a new age of light. If a World War III happens with a nuclear strike, then it's basically the karma is going to whoop us on the ass. And his prophecy was the northern countries would invade Brazil for resources, food, and water, and because the north would be irradiated, right? And he said, you know, Russia would take this part of Brazil. The Americans would take another part. You know, basically all of North America, Europe, Russia, and China too, they would take different parts of Brazil. But he said it would be, if you know Latin people or Brazilian people, they have a very open heart. They're very friendly. They're very accepting.
Yeah.
Right? They're very loving.
Loving. Yep.
Okay. He said it would be for the Brazilian people to show love for their fellow man, even though they're being invaded. Right? And basically, it's 2017. This Chico Xavier's prophecy is only 2 years away. And look at what's happening right now.
Well, I'm seeing myself that, like, first the dollar bill is going to collapse, and then, you know, people are going to be hungry in the streets, and then, like, something's coming from these black holes coming from the sky, coming from here to here. And it might even have to do with, like, nuclear weapons coming, like a strike from the sky being some kind of technology from the sky. And maybe that's what these Leviathan beings are that they talk about in the Bible, some kind of nuclear blast from the sky that's coming. And it's all lining up with these prophecies from all different cultures. And, you know, these fallen angels are directly involved.
So I'm going to drop something else that probably you'll never hear on any other show. So this is just for the Spiral Radio listeners. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, there's very few people that are aware of what's going on in Japan. Okay? In 1995, there was a sarin gas bombing by the Aum Shinrikyo cult. It was an end times cult, right? They had the blind prophet Shoko Asahara, right? I don't know if you remember that, but basically they were going to bring an apocalypse. They were going to start the end times, right? Which you find with a lot of these crazy cult groups. It's just not good enough that the apocalypse is going to come. They're going to make it happen, right?
Yeah.
A lot of these guys got locked up. Shoko Asahara, he's in prison now. But they say that this Aum cult was just one half of a larger cult, okay? And there's an end times cult it's not fringe. It has direct connections to the LDP, the Liberal Democratic Party, which rules Japan right now. And a lot of these guys, their fathers and grandfathers, were key members of the Imperial Japanese government in World War II. Okay? So this cult is an end times cult. They basically are in the Planet of the Apes mentality. Like, literally, they worship the bomb. And they believe that Japan is Zion. Listen to this. Jesus was Japanese.
And that dude broadcasted like something like boasting, didn't he? That Asahara dude?
Well, you know, there's a whole history about this. People can look it up about Aum. And they were getting a lot of the scalar weapons and high technology from the fall of the Soviet Union. Because this happened in 95, the sarin gas bombing, right? But and then the Soviet Union fell like in the late 80s, like 89 to 91 or something. So in that time, you know, they were able to cherry pick a lot of high technology, and there's a whole story to it, but they had the top people from like Waseda, Todai, Tokyo University. These were like the sharpest minds in Japan.
Wasn't there one in the Tokyo subway too?
That's where the sarin gas bombing was.
Oh, okay.
But you know, a lot of people even say that there's more to it, that, you know, that it wasn't sarin gas, there was something else. But basically, their idea was they were going to start the apocalypse, right? But there's a part of this, you know, people say that Aum was not just in itself. There was a larger group, and this larger group is connected to the people that are running Japan today. So they believe that basically the Japanese are the master race, okay? That after the fire of nuclear purification, which if you look at a lot of the traditions, they say that the next world will be brought in by fire. The last one was brought in by water, right? It was a flood. So this next one's going to be fire. And somehow these nut jobs think that they're going to survive World War III and the nuclear, you know, Holocaust. And Japan will rise as the new Lemuria.
What? That's crazy.
Okay.
So what's happening? What are they going to do with all the nuclear problems?
Well, they're totally nuts. And I think a lot of people say that one of the reasons that Fukushima blew up as bad as it did was because it's known that Fukushima had a secret nuclear program at the nuclear plant. And that's probably why they didn't want any foreigners coming to help the situation, is because they didn't want them seeing what was actually going on there, you know? And, you know, again, it's ridiculous because for decades, the Japanese were worried about the North Koreans nuking them. Well, guess what? Because you're in that warlike mentality and the separation of, how you say, that you don't realize that we're all one and we're all connected. So in thinking you're superior, they nuke themselves already, right? But what's very interesting is this cult, which will be unnamed, but you can go look it up, okay? If you go digging in this area that I'm sending you, you can go find out the information. Their logo is not a swastika. It's not, you know, any. It's not something that, like, Buddhists, which people would associate with Japan. It is. Can you guess what their logo is?
The hexagram.
It's the Magan David. It's the so-called Star David.
Yeah, the hexagram.
So it's Sol Saturn. There you go again. It goes back. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is something that people should look at because I think most people, one, they're just not aware of their own above board history. So then if you don't even know the above board history, how are you going to dig to the occult history, right? But they're also just looking on the surface layer. Oh, you know, humans are bad. Humans are inherently evil. Well, look, people, we have been misguided. We've been genetically manipulated. We've been totally mind controlled. We've been messed with. And guess who's behind the curtain? It ain't human, in my opinion. You know? So start looking at you know, go. I would say go look at Ra's YouTubes because he has a lot of interesting stuff on there. You can go look at the past Fallen Angel Fridays and just look at the guests that have been on and start digging into their material, you know? Just like last week, Gary Wayne. Just that Genesis book conspiracy itself, you could spend like a couple months on just cracking that book.
Yeah, you know? And I booked him for two more dates in June. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're gonna do a show on my Naga Files too, just a whole show on the Naga Files. And, you know, it's interesting because even, you know, I think that these fallen angels were the ones that even, you know, not only brought us magic, but brought us hallucinogens and prepare us for certain battles and gave us war and everything. And, you know, it's talked about in the Vedas, you know. I was reading it last night how, you know, the soma juice was given to people during the time of battle. And it was, you know, they say that after drinking the soma juice, it was Indra, and he would grasp his bow and wield his powers. And they thought of, like, soma juice was flowed into vessels made of gold, and it granted you wishes and destroyed powerful enemies and gave you energy and sweetness and became stronger. And it was this kind of green, like, green hoo. They like a hue. They call it. They said it was, and it was something to do with the god Indra, who I feel is one of these fallen, you know. And I feel that there's millions of these fallen, like Gary Wayne talks about. There's millions of them, and there's hierarchies, and I feel that that's where we get all of our different races from. How you have Asians, and you have mm-hmm. you know, white, and you have because it's different. Beings, different seraphim from different areas, and they had these traits, and that's what gave us our traits, our genetics, and that basically on Mount Hermon, that's where this genetic experiments were taking place that they talk about in the Book of Enoch.
Well you know, I was talking about that Japanese cult, right? This cult came out of there's a whole group of what they call the new religions. That came, I think they started forming around like the late 1800s. And there's like maybe hundreds, thousands of these new religions in Japan now, right? This cult, this new cult I was talking about, it came out of a religion called Omotokyo. And it was a lady that, you know, check this out, Ra.
I love when you say Japanese words.
Isn't it interesting that when you go to the root of a lot of these religions, it was like in this case, it was a lady that had some kind of mental breakdown, or she saw the burning bush, and then she's like, boom, you got hit by lightning, and all of a sudden she starts a new religion.
Yeah, well, look at Joseph Smith with the Mormon. You know, he's talking to Moroni, some dark hooded angel in his room that tells him to go find some tablets beneath a tree and talk to Native Americans and all this stuff, and he starts the Mormon church. You know, and so, it's the same thing.
So check this out. You know, my family is priests, Buddhist priests, right?
Yeah.
One of my uncles, and, you know, our sect or our school of Buddhism is not esoteric. It's very grounded. There's no, you know, entities flying around. It's very grounded. But
it's like farm culture.
But I don't know who it was from this Omotokyo group that later spawned this, like, new cult. But there was a woman coming out of Omotokyo that saw something in one of my uncles, who's a Buddhist scholar, and she says, "Why don't you join me? You can have anything that you want. We will be powerful together." Because my uncle, he's very he's an extreme scholar. He's got all his book stuff down. He knows his stuff, right? And she had the mojo, so you know, he just told me this in passing one time. But it's interesting that, you know, these things happen. And guess what? The key thing that I want to emphasize is, you know, it often comes when these people are getting messages. And messages from where?
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
Right? Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a couple of minutes left. We got 4 minutes left. You want to do the little psychic rapid fire thing real quick?
All right. It's shop talk on Fallen Angel Fridays.
We only could do a couple questions, but I'm sure everybody will love this. This is what we call on Spiral Radio, everybody. This is what we call Second Sight 7, where I have to rattle off a rapid fire questions to the psychic, in this case Misaki, where he doesn't really have time to think. He has to just say the first thing that comes to mind, the first thing that first pops into his mind about these topics, and all the topics have to do with paranormal and esoteric. So I have some questions here that I actually had prepared with Maria D'Andrea that we never got to ask her, or that I may have even asked her, and it's going to be interesting to compare some of your answers afterwards even. Okay. And so let's see. Okay, Misaki, do you think Putin and the 100th monkey are connected?
You know what's funny? I've actually said yes before, but now that you ask me, I'm feeling no.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know why, but like, yeah, it's funny because I've actually said on air, like, yes, 100th monkey, but you know, there might be something bigger going on. It's bigger than Putin.
Cool. Do you think the Ark of the Covenant may be in Ethiopia or has connections to Ethiopia?
Yes. Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Was Nikola Tesla channeling ETs?
He was channeling, but I don't feel it was ETs. It's something else. It might be like interdimensionals or something.
Do you feel Akhenaten is buried in Egypt?
No.
Wow. Okay. In ancient Lemuria, do you think there was trees that went miles high towards the atmosphere?
No.
Do any other planets use nuclear energy?
Yes, and it's something more. They're using nuclear stuff, and it's extra, too. There's more to it.
Wow. Okay, do you think the Montauk Project was really using time travel, or was it more like some kind of thought implant? Memory implant.
It's dimensional.
Dimensional?
Mm-hmm.
Does every planet have an Akashic record?
It has something like an Akashic record. I think it's more than what we consider Akashic record. I see something around that, yeah.
Do you feel Eisenhower met with tall whites?
I feel that he met with something. I think it's not that story of the Paul Whites, but there's something around that, yeah.
You think it's possible the dinosaurs are terraformed here? We're terraformed here?
Yes.
Well, this is Spiral Radio, baby, and this is Misaki Miyagawa at Akaita.com, and this was amazing, and that was really cool. And so, Misaki, you think one last question. Let me see. Is the Japanese water demon Kappa, do you think that's some kind of reptilian alien? What's your
It's more physical. It's more physical.
And when you hear the name Yaldabaoth, what comes to mind?
The demon.
Wow. All right, baby. This is Inspiral Radio. It was a great time, and you can find Misaki at akaida.com. And I say, Spiral out.